I asked Jason the same thing when we did his podcast. What's your why? Like what's the external motivation, or maybe it's internal motivation that you know drives you to be the best?
I think it's changed over the years, and I've kind of touched on it a few times. But for me right now, it's winning, and it's not even close. And it's competing, and it's being the best version of myself every day. How can I do that as the most as possible and create the best results for myself and my team?
So it's
winning. And I think I've been on really good teams, and I've been on really bad teams, and I've had really good seasons, and I've had bad seasons. And finding myself in a place where I can consistently produce and consistently win games and chase that competitive juice and that competitive fire of being able to beat the other team and be able to, you know, punish the other team in ways at the end of the games and finish on a 4-minute drive. Like, there's no better feeling than that. And getting us as Lions to a place where we can do that consistently, I take a lot of pride in, and would be something that I would be proud of for the rest of my life.
The number one, you know, tight end in the country.
Adam Redman, tight end, Cedar Cliff.
And then popped up.
Touchdown! Adam Redman, a 14-yard strike.
What's up, guys? Welcome into Brenneman Shows Up. I'm Adam Brenneman. We're here in Detroit, Michigan. Just flew in an hour ago. We're going to talk to Lions quarterback Jared Goff. Excited to have him on the podcast. Jason Kabinda, my former teammate from Penn State, who was on a previous episode of this podcast, is going to co-host this one with me. He helped me set the whole thing up, so appreciate Jason for helping out there. Going to talk to Jared about life on and off the field this coming season with the Lions. It's a big-time year for his career, so excited to see what Jared's up to and how he's feeling. Make sure you subscribe, like, follow me on TikTok, Instagram, every platform there is. Make sure you're throwing a like to it. Let's go see what Jared's up to.
How far are you? Adam, Jared,
how are you?
I'm good.
Right. Cool. That sounds cool, right? Sounds like you're in
the whole
world.
Now I see why you wanted to wear them. I like it. It's fire. Are we officially rolling?
We're rolling.
Let's go.
All right.
Well, Jared, I appreciate you coming, man. And Jason, appreciate you setting this up for us.
Of course, brother.
Big friend of the podcast, Jason Kabinda.
That's right.
This is actually the last episode of season one of the podcast. So
great.
It's good to have you on.
Save the best for last.
Eight. Awesome.
Eight total. We started with Kenny Pickett, was number one. So I knew Kenny for a while. He went to some quarterback camps that I was a receiver at. So did him, and then did the whole Penn State crew, you know, Mike Gesicki and Kabinda and Amani, and we did Chase Edmonds. You know Chase?
Yep. Yeah. I don't know him, but I know who he is. Yeah.
Yeah. So did him and went through the Penn State guys a little bit. So yeah, it was fun.
Good.
Yeah. But appreciate you doing this, man. Flew into Detroit about an hour ago.
Good.
So got in.
Got
came right
good
to the studio
for you today.
Yeah. No, I thought it'd be a little colder, to be honest with you.
It's been nice the last
couple weeks. It's June.
It's been
Why
great.
Do you think it's gonna be cold?
I don't know. Well, everyone says Detroit's cold. You know, so like I figured it would be like sweatshirt weather. So
it's been good for like a month.
Summer.
Like a month's been nice.
Yeah.
April was a little cold.
It actually
was a little chilly in April.
How was the transition to Detroit from Cali? A little different weather climate.
Totally, yeah. Well, I lived in California my whole life, obviously played for the Rams. And I'd never been in the Midwest. I'd never been out here. I'd really never done much in the East Coast in general, but the Midwest was definitely new, and I've loved it, man. I've really loved it. Sure, there was a transition period, but I love it out here. My girlfriend and I, Kristen, she lives out here with me, and she loves it. We live in a nice area. We're, you know, out in nature a little bit more than California. Get to slow down a little bit out here, and it's really nice.
Are you a nature guy, like more than a big city guy?
You know, I can do both, I guess. Yeah. I do like the change of pace though out here. You know, I've been where I grew up in California is just north of San Francisco. It's not in a big city at all. So it's more similar to where I live out here, I guess. Where I lived in LA, kind of the same, but in LA, obviously, there's so many things going on. Out here, it's a little bit slower, and I've enjoyed that.
Cali's becoming the quarterback hub of the country, man. There's a lot of big time QBs coming out of Cali now.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's been that way. I mean, obviously, Tom and Aaron are both from there, but I mean, you could go forever. Myself, Sam, Josh Allen, Derek Carr, and then the older guys,
Bryce Young now, and those
Bryce
guys,
Young,
the young guys.
What was your first?
CJ Stroud, I believe, from there too.
I was gonna say, what was your first expectation, like coming to Detroit? Like, what goes into that? Like, do you find people to figure out, like, how is Detroit? Like, did you know people from the Lions team already that you talked to? Like, how is it? Like, dive more into the logistics of the actual move, because I don't think people really know what goes into getting traded. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, they think you just pop up in Detroit, so you're just there.
You got to get your house.
So you buy the house, you got your cars, some people have wife and kids, you got to move, all that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, my girlfriend was going to come with me, so that made it easy with her. She was very helpful with that. It made my life a whole lot easier, but... I guess the best way to put it, I had people that I knew that connected me with people out here that would be important to know for things I may need, you know, whatever that may be, buying a house, going to dinner, getting a car, you know, a million things, shipping a car,
right,
a million things that I would have needed. That I had just have friends that know people that live out here, and that was really how I gained some connections. And then through the Lions, obviously, they've got connections to people you need to know that'll help with stuff. And so a little bit of everything, and that was probably those first, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months of figuring that out.
There's so many logistics, right, that you're just saying, there, like shipping a car.
I mean, seriously, and that's all on you, right? Like, it's not like the Lions pay for all that stuff.
No, of course,
it's all on you.
Yeah, you got to figure it out. You got to figure it out. And it's actually been, you don't realize until you actually go through it, but now this next year in this offseason, I'm like, man, I've got, like, nothing to do. All my stuff's out here. All my clothes are out here. My car's out here. I've got a good setup in my house now where I can kind of, operate from there pretty easily, and it's nice.
Right.
What was your recruiting process like? We were in the same high school class, 2013.
That's
obviously a big time recruit. What was that process like? And how'd you pick Cal?
Right. I to be honest, I really wasn't until late in the process.
Late bloomer.
Big time. Sure. I played in an area that wasn't very highly recruited, I guess you would say. It's just north of San Francisco, probably 30 minutes, and just didn't get college coaches a lot. We didn't have any lights in our league, so we played on Saturdays, as did the colleges, right? So they wouldn't come see us as much. And I, as a sophomore, played a bunch, didn't start, but played a bunch. As a junior, started and had a great year. And that's when the interest started coming. And that was March, I believe February or March of after my junior football season was Cal Junior Day. Mm-hmm. And my dad was at work. He was a firefighter. My mom was at work. So I went over there with my high school coach and my uncle. And, you do the whole tour, and, you've done a million of them. And get there to Coach Tedford, was the coach at the time, and get there to his office. Hey, Jared, I want to talk to you. I'm like, all right, great. I had no expectations. I have no offers. I've got nothing going on. hey, Cal. Side note, both my parents went to Cal. Mm-hmm. Been a huge fan my whole life. Not that it meant that I was going to go there, but, like, it
legacy.
Helped.
Legacy.
It helped. Anyway, so I'm there, and in Coach Tedford's office, hey, Jared, we really like you. We like your tape. We're going to offer you a scholarship and blah, blah, blah. And he just kind of kept talking through it. And I'm like looking around like, did he just offer me that? It was my first one, so I didn't really know how it went. Offered me the scholarship. From there, the next day, Washington State and Boise State both offered. Mm-hmm. And then the way it works for quarterbacks, and probably similar for tight ends, once that spot's filled, kind of move on. So for me, being in California, I wanted to play in the Pac-12. And then specifically, I liked Cal, Stanford, USC, UCLA. Mm-hmm. One of those four in California. Great schools. My sister goes to UCLA. Like, that would have been great. And it just so happened the other three were already taken.
Yeah.
Cal was the only one who offered me. And that made the decision easy.
You didn't have a choice, really.
Yeah. Best decision of my life. But, it was definitely narrowed down there to Cal. And about 3 weeks later, I committed. And then from there, Elite 11 and all that stuff happened.
And you were in the Elite 11 too?
Yeah. Yeah, with your guys, Hackenberg.
Yeah, what I was going to ask you is Hack. I'm golfing with him on Friday.
Amazing. So, tell him I said that.
Yeah, I will. But he was the five star in that class, the number one quarterback.
How did Hack look back then?
Hack was great, man. Hack was a stud, man. He was balling. And, we became friends. We spent some time there at the Elite 11. We're roommates at the Manning Passing Academy, which we got to college, and then we're actually roommates at the Combine too. So we were together quite a bit, and I followed his career and everything he's done since. And, you know, tell him I say hello.
Hack's a good dude, man. He's a good golfer, too. He can play a little bit. Good. He can play a little bit. No, but that's awesome. So you go to Cal, and you start as a true freshman, right?
Yes.
Right away?
Yeah.
So it was a relatively simple transition for you then to get there?
Yeah, not really. I mean, yeah, like I said, grew up going to games, grew up a fan. So, like, being able to play there as an 18-year-old freshman was, like,
unreal,
unbelievable.
What was the biggest difference for you coming from senior high school going into your freshman year in terms of, like, the game?
Everyone's going to say the speed, and I know it's a cliche answer, but you guys know that's probably the main thing. And just how fast the defensive line was, really.
Yeah.
Like,
feeling them.
They're as fast as, I mean, especially in the NFL now, they're as fast as anyone else on the field. So that was the biggest difference, was, like, these guys get home a lot faster, and understanding there's a little bit of a quicker clock back there. And then you get hit a few times. You're like, all right, I don't want that to happen again. And, yeah, you know, that starts to happen. But, yeah, it was an amazing experience and hard experience. We went 1-11, really hard, not fun. Hometown, you know, all my friends and family are coming to every game. We're losing every game. We won the second game of the year and then lost the rest of them. So 1-11, and then the next year we went 5-7. And last year we were 8-5 with a bowl game win, and was kind of a cool culmination of it all.
Yeah, Pac-12 needs to not figure it out, but it needs a little more of a come up at this point.
They need a little bit of help. Yeah. You know, Cal's doing a good job so far. I like Coach Wilcox and everything he's done.
He's done great, and he stayed, right? They were trying to get him to Oregon or somewhere, they were saying.
Yeah, I believe Oregon offered him the job, if I'm not mistaken, and he wanted to stay, which is great.
Do you talk to him at all, Coach Wilcox?
Here and there, probably a couple times a year.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, Pac-12, it seems like if they could just figure out, like, it's hard because on the East Coast, everyone's asleep by the time they're playing.
Yeah, I know. That's been the hardest part about living out here is, you know, a lot of sports. I'm a giant Warrior fan, and they've been playing. Right. You know, I don't know when this is going to come out, but they just got to the NBA Finals, so I'll have to stay up and watch some of those. It'll be fun.
Yeah, no, that'll be exciting.
I mean, USC is supposed to be going crazy this year, aren't they?
I mean, Lincoln Riley's gotten everyone, man.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Like, with NIL and everything, they got, like, every big recruit.
Jordan can't even keep up with that stuff, man. It's, like, I don't even know what the rules are. Like,
yeah, what do you think about? I mean, you would have made a lot of money in NIL, right?
Not really. I mean, I don't know. Like,
I guess
everything happened for me again so late, even in college.
I had a bad
freshman year. Like, we lost. My numbers were fine. I had a good sophomore year, and then I had a really good junior year, and, like, things kind of took off from there. I wasn't, like, returning as, like, a Heisman or, like, somebody who had done something
the year
before. So, yeah, maybe a little bit more, but not like these kids are getting.
Yeah. It's all these, like, collectives are, like, raising money and just through like, nonprofits and, like, giving them to the players. It's crazy.
I saw somebody say something. It would be good if they made it so they had to play first.
Yeah.
And then you can make the money.
You couldn't do it from,
make,
like,
as
recruiting.
Much money as you want, right? You shouldn't be able to do it until you play, I don't know, let's say 5 games.
Or why?
Because these schools are paying these guys before they've done anything. They're just paying them to get them.
Yeah.
And sure, I mean, good for them. They're good high school players.
It's like pay for play, though.
Right. So, it's still, like, let them in some way earn it, I guess.
I guess.
And I mean, make your money, like, get it all. But
yeah. Would you say not being a star at the high school level isn't earning it at all?
I don't think so. It's hard for these colleges, I think, to give XYZ player, I don't know how much, millions of dollars, and then they don't play for them. And then you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
Now, good for the player. Like, go make your money. Like, go get good from that school. Do your thing. But I would imagine from a college standpoint, they're going, well, shit, you know, I was hoping this guy would play for us and be a good player.
And I think it's, like, we all agree it's good for the players to be able to make money. But the problem is there's no, like, parity in the process. Like, like, there's no, like, in the NFL, you got the salary cap. You got all the rule. In college, it's just kind of like the wild, wild west where, like, no one really – it's not a level playing field for anyone. And that's, you know, I thought the Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher fiasco was hilarious.
I think that's hilarious.
Jimbo called him a narcissist.
Like, it's always cool when you have rivalry between players, like wide receiver, quarterback, cornerback, you know, like, whatever the case may be.
The coaches ones,
like,
are fun.
When you have coaches, bro, like, guys who truly are supposed to keep shit completely professional and not even get into that, and they're getting into it hardcore, like, that's awesome.
So fun.
Right. It's popcorn ready.
What was your draft process like? Like, did you went into it thinking you'd be the number one pick?
No. Again, everything kind of, like, it's kind of a
happened
theme.
Late.
Yeah, it all kind of just, like, progressed really quickly, and I guess that's how most guys would say things like that happen. But came into the process as one of the top guys, but, you know, I was one of two or three guys that were the top guys. And at the time, it was myself, Paxton Lynch, Carson Wentz, who else was, you know, Christian was there. I believe Connor Cook was in my class and part of that.
Yeah, Connor Cook.
Who else? Well, Dak Prescott was in my class, was a later draft pick. Oh, yeah. But those top, like, two or three guys at the time in the draft, I progressed through the process and did a good job. And about a week before, 2 weeks before the draft, the Rams traded up and took me. And it kind of, like, all happened, like, within 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And then what was that transition like? I mean, obviously it was relatively close for you in California.
Yeah.
Were you excited? Like, was that where you wanted to go throughout the process? Or were you just kind of willing to go wherever it was going
to
take
you? Yeah, I wanted to go to a good team. And, again, I wasn't expecting to go one overall. It really wouldn't have happened had they not traded up because Tennessee had the first pick and Cleveland had the second pick. So Tennessee had Marcus. Cleveland was in the market for a quarterback, but they didn't take one that year. So who knows where I would have got picked if that trade never happened. But being close to home was cool. It was cool. I was able to have a lot of family come. Still, it's a 6-hour drive and an hour flight. But still, being on the West Coast was helpful early on, and just being around people I know, being around friends and family. But, you know, it doesn't really matter now where I'm at in the league. You know, I understand, like, you can play anywhere. If you can play, you can play. But it was fun.
Was it interesting going into the league, obviously, as, like, the expected starter as a number one pick, and having guys that are, like, 13 years older than you on the team? Like, where in college, you got guys that are, like, 1 or 2 years older than you? Because you were probably, were you 20 at the time?
21.
21 at the
time. Yeah, 21. It was definitely different, you know, being from college and you're 21 years old, you're the big man on campus, and then you get drafted, and now you're back to the bottom of the list. And I was actually not starting right away. I didn't start for the first 9 games. Mm-hmm. Case Keenum started, and I've said this before, but I owe a lot of what I know now to him.
Yeah.
He taught me a lot and kind of, you know, was able to prepare me in a way without, you know, putting himself at a deficit to get me ready to play. And in hindsight, you know, I'm extremely thankful for him and what he was able to help me with. And didn't win a game that year, but the next year we did okay.
Yeah.
How hard is it to lead as a young guy like that?
Yeah.
In a year one, year two role, like, because when you're a quarterback, like, you're expected to lead. You lead the offense. Right. Like, that's what you expect when you get in the huddle. You got to take command, all that kind of stuff. Like, what goes into that?
Right. That's a great question. I've always, I have a theory on it that if you are genuine and you're prepared, I don't care how old you are. It shouldn't matter. And if an 18-year-old kid came into the NFL and was playing on our team and was playing any position on our team, and he was himself, and he showed up prepared every day, you're going to go, okay, I respect that.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes. No, you know, everyone has their different style of leadership, whether it's loud, quiet, lead by example, lead in the weight room, whatever it may be. Everyone's got their different style, and I think that's somewhat irrelevant as long as you are prepared and you are yourself, because when you're not yourself, that gets sniffed out pretty quickly.
Yeah. Was anybody in your ear at the time, like, you need to do more, you need to speak up more, or even the opposite, telling you, hey, chill out, rookie, you just got here?
No, I mean, you know my personality. I'm relatively laid back. So, no, it was just be yourself. And that was what I was trying to do. And at the same time, Case was the starter. So it wasn't a different situation where I did have to kind of pull myself back a little bit.
Right.
Not step on his toes in any ways, but at the same time, let the coaches know that, you know, I am ready to play whenever they want to put me in and be able to display that leadership in my own way with the twos at the time.
Right.
Did you feel like, you know, from the media, there was the added pressure of being the number one pick? Like, did you feel that right away in your career?
Yeah. I mean, of course. How can you not? I think I wish I would have wanted less to prove people right or prove people wrong and just, you know, play as best I can.
Yeah.
You know, did it stunt me at all? I don't know, but it maybe would have made things a little bit easier mentally. But yeah, I wish in hindsight that, you know, I didn't want to, like, oh, I need to prove that guy wrong, or I need to, you know, prove the Rams right. You know, they're right to pick me. No, like, just do the best I can. It's a sport. If we win, fantastic. I want to win. I want to compete. But just do the best you can and enjoy the day.
Yeah, block it all out, right?
Right.
What the other interesting part of it was, you had Hard Knocks going on your very first year at the Rams.
Yeah.
That was an added element that I had forgot about till I was, like, you know, doing some research before this. That must have made things interesting too, because they obviously want to feature you on the show. We got two Hard Knocks stars here too, right?
Yeah,
Jason's coming. Hard Knocks star.
Yeah. Yep. So it was we had Hard Knocks and All or Nothing, which wasn't.
What's All or Nothing?
I don't know if it was called All or Nothing.
Is that like NFL Networks?
That's it was at the time. It was Amazon, which was the in-season cameras, but it was the same crew as NFL.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now at this time, I believe it's hard. I think they just call it Hard Knocks in season.
HBO, right? Yeah,
and it's the Cardinals this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got drafted. I'll give you a story. Hold on, sorry. So, I get drafted in Chicago. I get drafted probably 8 o'clock at night. I did media until 11:30. Mm-hmm. Got to eat dinner with my family, celebrate. It's midnight. Great. Go out, party with my friends. Go to bed at like, I don't know, 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. Wake up at 6, have a flight to LA the next day. Go to the airport. Great. Get on a flight. I land in LA wearing the same clothes I was wearing the night before. I didn't know, and I land and they're like, all right, you're not going to go through the airport. We're going to take you off the side. Great. With my mom, just me and my mom, my dad and everyone else on a different flight. And, walking down the stairs of the airport, there's still like, if you go back and look, you'll see the shot. It's me like coming off. So like the first thing I land, it's like cameras, boom. I'm like, oh, all right. Okay. So I get into, the SUV they have there. And it's me and who would be Sean Pugh for us.
Yeah.
Our player development guy. And he's sitting there and it's GoPro, 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 GoPro. And I'm like, all right.
So let me put my face on.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, all right. Again, I've slept like an hour and a half and had like the most like emotionally draining week of my life. But, you know, I'm gonna make it. I'm doing good. 30 minutes to the hotel, get there. And I'm like, all right, finally, like I get to just, you know, rest. And again, I've got no idea what my schedule for the day is. It's probably, I don't know, noon, 2, 1 o'clock maybe. I got no idea. I'm like, all right, I get to go rest. I've got my suit. The guy, you know, Sean Pugh, the player development guy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He goes, all right, put your suit on. Your press conference is in 20 minutes. Bro.
Straight out the plane.
Yeah, so I go upstairs. Again, I haven't really eaten anything either. Like, it was so I get upstairs. Yeah. I
have a little hungover.
I have, like, the little, like, hotel pretzels. Like, I just, like, put them down. Put my suit on. Turned it on for another hour. And did the press conference, met some coaches. At that point, it's day 2 of the draft, so they're a little bit busy. But was able to talk to them for a couple hours. And then finally, like, take a deep breath. Relax, sit down. It was probably, 5, 6 o'clock. And then, like, the cool moment was later that night, we had dinner at the hotel on the top. It was a Wolf King Puck restaurant. I don't remember what it was called. But me, my mom, my dad, my sister, I believe that was it, kind of looking out. You know, we're in L.A. now, and it's like, all right, like, finally, like, I can – absorb this a little bit, relax. Take it all in and relax and like kind of plan for the next however many weeks.
Yeah, that's awesome. So at this point, when they come back, like, do you know the crew now at Hard Knocks and stuff? You're very familiar with the producers and stuff?
Yeah, the producers, the cameramen, all those people, if they're the same people as they were the last time I went on it, it would be. I know the producer is the same. I'm not sure about the cameraman.
Yeah. Well, you had an experience in Hard Knocks too, right?
I did. A little bit. Oakland. Yeah, Oakland, my second year.
Okay. You were like featured on it too, right?
Yeah, my second training camp, I was on there a lot. Underdog story. Yeah. I did get cut on Hard Knocks.
On camera.
But I know. I mean, it was cool. I was balling. I had my best training camp that I'd had, coming into the league. I was the kind of underdog story, undrafted, looking like he's going to make the team, all that kind of stuff. They just only kept 4 linebackers that year. And the cool part was, after I got cut, Detroit called me like 10 minutes later and, I was able to go get on a flight and like they captured that too. Like that was cool that they included that as well. But how Hard Knocks is. Yeah. Like added pressure, people are going to do extra stuff. For the cameras and stuff like that, but
right,
like,
you won't stay, though.
Nah, you gotta stay level headed. You gotta do what you gotta do. Okay, I mean, good. We might have a little, a little every week show featuring Hard Knocks.
Okay,
right. Do a little media deal. I might try to sneak that in there.
Good,
but,
you should.
It's a good deal.
I think so many people always are like, does it suck being a Hard Knocks? And it's like, there's a little bit of invasion of privacy, but for the most part, they're there to showcase you.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I probably didn't understand early on is I'm like, this sucks. Get these cameras out of here. I want to play football. But if you can use it the right way, like they're not there to like tear anyone down or like expose anyone. They're there to showcase ultimately this year, the city of Detroit and everything that we've built in the last year. And hopefully we can show them.
Do you give guys any advice like on the team when Hard Knocks comes?
Yeah. The number one thing I say is you don't have to do anything if you don't want to.
Yeah.
True. They're going to ask you to go on a boat ride or go do something on a, and it's all good intentioned.
Yeah.
But if these young guys, they think they have to say yes to everything, you don't have to. You can say, no, I'm good. Thank you. they'll come back with something else, or they'll just leave you alone.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And be careful of what you do say in general. Totally.
Yeah.
Like, just in general.
Does a team have, like, veto power on?
They do.
They do, okay.
They do, but...
Yeah.
Every team is different.
There's a deadline for when the film needs to be turned in and it needs to go on TV, so... It's you know, you can't look at it forever. You get one look at it, and then it's like, all right, that's good, that's not, that's good. All right, see you later.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure McVay was pretty chill about the cameras and, like, letting them pretty much do whatever.
We had it the COVID year, so they, like, couldn't get that close to us. So it was 2020 training camp, and they split it with – so the first year, it was hard because I was a rookie and they were everywhere. Second time I did it was – it was split between the Rams and the Chargers.
Yeah.
So the amount of coverage they had on us, and for sure the amount of footage they put public was split in half. Yeah. Right. And then put on top of that, it was COVID. They weren't allowed in the meetings. They weren't allowed in the building. Like, they could only get us on the practice field, and then they would put cameras up in meeting rooms, but they couldn't walk around with cameras. There was no boom mics. There was none of that. They couldn't even get close to us at practice because of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was scaled back much more that year, based on it being split. Yeah. And it was a COVID year.
It's going to be the full thing this year, though, right?
Oh, wow. Full throttle. It will.
They'll be all in.
Yeah.
They're going to eat Dan up in a good way. Like, they're going to love Coach Campbell.
What was your first impression of Coach Campbell when you first met him?
You know, I first met him at the Pro Bowl in 2018. The Saints were the staff for the Pro Bowl, and so he was the tight ends coach. And, again, we had, like, a brief conversation, but that was the end of it. But we knew each other from that. And then I had played the Saints a handful of times, and so – we had crossed over a little bit, but we never really had spent any time together. But yeah, he's been awesome, man. I've really enjoyed his energy and who he is. And I think the number one thing that I'll say about him that people always ask me is he's just genuine. You know, he's not putting on a show. When he does his stuff in the media, it's not an act. Like, he's not trying to, like, spew headlines. It's who he is. He's genuine. I think you can attest to this too. Like, if you ask him something, he's going to give you the real answer, whether you want to hear it or not.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you respect most as a player. He was a player. He gets it. And he'll tell you how it is. And sometimes it's good and sometimes not.
Yeah. He treats you like a man. Yeah. You know what I mean, it's a man's league. Yeah. There's too many coaches who are fake or won't keep it real with you or won't just say what is really on their mind, you know? So I think Dan being like that is crucial just from a trust level.
Yeah.
And you know how it is, like, with trust, like, players and coaches, like, you got to trust your coach. Coach got to trust you. Like, that's the only way the shit works. That's the only way you can win. Yeah. So I think having that type of environment, and then that trickles down to the rest of the coaches and the assistants and stuff like that, like, that's just, it's awesome.
We were talking about Detroit. I feel like, just from an outsider's perspective, that they have made a serious effort to invest in people around you this coming season. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, it's been fun, yeah. You know, obviously last year was hard for everyone, but I think – I trust Brad, I trust Dan, I trust their plan, and seeing, you know, getting a guy like Josh Reynolds to sign back, going and getting DJ Chark, obviously drafting Jameson, you know, it's been like kind of a, okay, cool, like, let's go do this thing, and they're doing it the right way, and it's really exciting. It's, you know, we've got a lot of work to do, and doesn't, you know, just because we have better players now, it doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to just automatically win. It's a lot of work to do, and we know that, but it's going in the right direction for sure, and it's an exciting time to be aligned.
Yeah. I just think, like, at our level, there aren't enough true football people in front office and in the scouting positions in general. Like, when you have people like Campbell, you have people like Brad, like, who really know football players, really know the culture of football, what it should be, what it should look like, what, like, the mindset of the football player that you're bringing into the organization should be, then you're getting the right players. But there's too many people who either didn't truly grow up playing, didn't play at a high level, don't really know the game, don't really know what it's like to have the pads on. And you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's really through all levels, but I think it's almost unacceptable at our level, like, to have that at the NFL level. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. And I absolutely. And I think I don't want to speak for Brad or Dan, but you guys have all played with guys that you go, like, all right, that guy, like, likes playing football.
Yeah.
Or that guy, like, wants to be here, and he could be good, he could be bad, he could be indifferent, but, like, I want him on my team.
Yeah.
It feels like they just keep bringing guys like that in.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to be around as a, you know, obviously a quarterback, but any teammate.
Yeah.
To be around guys who really love it and really want to be there and aren't playing for money, but are competitors and just, you know, they keep using the word grit, and it's great, but it's really like that feeling of, like, wanting to be out there with your teammates. And it's, you know, it's not like that everywhere. And
yeah,
it's starting to build that way here in Detroit. It's really exciting.
It does feel like just from watching Dan Campbell that he's a guy who would not tolerate someone who doesn't love football.
Right, right.
Like, and he just wouldn't let it happen.
That's kind of like what they've started. Exactly. They've started doing like it just wouldn't fly, right? So like they continue to bring in guys obviously through the draft, but even in free agency that you're like, I want him on my team. Every guy so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as last season, you know, and I know you're going to say you didn't win enough games, so, you know, that didn't do the job. But I feel like you played pretty well throughout the season, especially towards the end. Like, you had a, you know, you started kind of hitting your stride, it looked like, from an offensive perspective. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, towards the end, we started figuring some things out. I think when Ben Johnson, who is our current coordinator, mm-hmm. had his, you know, fingerprint on things a little bit, it was able to accelerate some things, especially in the pass game. And I did have a couple injuries there down the stretch, but when I was able to be out there, especially in those last four or five games, it felt like, you know, our offense was humming a little bit at times. Yeah. And still, you know, I think we went 3-2 in those last five games. I don't have 3-1 in the last four or something. And still, you know, we'd still like to have probably some bigger numbers, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it was a vast improvement from what we were previously, and being able to be out there and actually feel, you know, a good rhythm in our offense, and for those young guys to be able to feel what it should feel like mm-hmm. when your offense is working and when things are going the right way, that was important.
And sometimes I think, like, the criticism that maybe you've gotten about this past season, like, people don't understand, like, it's a new system. Like, you're not going into year two. You're going to be a lot more comfortable. Like, there's so many things that are mm-hmm. behind the scenes that people don't really understand, or they just look at the product on Sunday and they just, that's just what it is. You know what I mean? They don't understand everything that goes into it besides that.
Right.
So, like, I feel like you can really make that jump this year as well in that sense.
We all know that, like, media, like, most of the time what they're saying, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Typically.
Right.
And you guys are both going to be media guys, which is fantastic. And you'll keep it real, which will be great.
For sure.
But, no, absolutely. I think being in Ben's offense this year, now, last year he had his own little flavor towards the end there that he was able to have a little bit more input on, but now it's truly his, and he has to be able to, he's able to build it this offseason. Early indications in OTAs is like, all right, like this mm-hmm. is real deal, and you know, we've got a chance to be good. What does that mean? Nothing.
For
but,
sure.
But yeah. We feel, and I know Jason can attest to this, that we have a real chance to do something good offensively.
No doubt.
Have you thrown any passes to Jason?
Threw him a touchdown.
Yeah, right. You threw a touchdown. What's Jason the tight end like? I never seen Jason, this part of him.
Jason the tight end has better hands than you'd expect.
I never thought he'd have good hands.
Very coachable, actually. He came. We were running seam routes when it was his first day back a few weeks ago. And, you know, I'm like, hey, give me like a little stick at the top. And, you know, sure enough, two, boom, right on him. And caught it with his hands. It was sweet. I mean, he's a good athlete and does a good job, obviously, at fullback, but can catch the ball too.
Jack of all trades, man.
I think it's funny when, like, y'all who played with me like years ago to now, like, see me play or.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I only know fullback.
I can't imagine. That's what I'm saying. Like, you probably don't know much about me playing defense, and obviously you know nothing about me, you know, playing offense. And I just think it's so funny because I think even just, like, my movements, like, the way I move, like, I think I sent you a couple mm-hmm. clips the other day, just me running a route on the air, and you were like, bro, you look agile. Like, I've never seen you move like that. Right. I just think that's so funny.
It is. He won't toot his own horn. Maybe he will, but –
He will.
Having a fullback who can actually catch a little bit,
and
now he's getting better. Mm. He's doing a good job, but having a guy who can actually catch a little bit and can make something after the catch is a crazy weapon.
Yeah.
Obviously,
you've
seen what Juszczyk can do.
Yeah.
He might as well be a tight end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, that is a crazy weapon to have offensively.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I have to go get some cone work with my guy over here.
Yeah,
I love it. I love
next couple months.
We're obviously big fans of the tight ends on this podcast. Yeah. What's TJ like?
TJ's great.
He seems very underrated in the league, right?
Like, yeah,
somewhat.
He's still young and finding himself in his career right now. But he's done a great job, man. He's a fun guy to play with because mm-hmm. he's so much a receiver playing tight end. He can block really well, but as a quarterback, when he's running his route, he's running it like a receiver, and only so many guys can wiggle the way he does. His hips move the way they do. Like, it's a rare combination of size and speed that is exciting for me to throw to, and he's only getting better.
Yeah, that's exciting. I'm excited to see him score some more touchdowns. I got ahead of my fantasy team last year, so
we're gonna need some more touchdowns this year. I need some more too.
And you love guys like TJ just because, like, he's a type when you go into the meeting room, like. Bro, like, it's just ball. You know what I mean? Yeah. You go into some meeting rooms, like, some coaches make it just so much more than it is and try to make the game more complicated. Like, when you can create an environment where everybody's just playing free, bro, like back in high school, like, everybody knows what it felt like to play in high school. Where you just go, like, you know you're him. Like, I'm about to go. I'm having 3 touchdowns. Like, I know that for a fact. Like, he has that same type of mindset where it's like, bro, like, it's a seam. Like, just run the route, catch the ball. You know what I mean? Like, right. Just the type of dude to dumb it down, just make it easy, no pressure, no right. The type of teammate you want.
Yeah. Right. What, how much of, like, the outside noise do you actually hear, like, as far as, you know, the Detroit media? And, like, I'm always curious because I feel like, you know, you hear people – we talked about before, like, when you – if you hear it when it's good, you also hear it when it's bad, so you try to block out the whole thing to begin with. But how much do you hear of, like, people saying the make-or-break season, you know, all that kind of stuff?
Not much. I mean, I don't have Twitter. Yeah. That's where most of it's at, you know. Obviously, stay off Twitter. Especially the negative stuff. Yeah. I have Instagram. Apparently, you know, every once in a while you can see stuff on there. But, like – again, I think, you know, kind of what I spoke to earlier, I've gotten to the point where I'm not trying to please anybody. I'm not trying to do anything for anyone else. I'm not trying to, you know, prove anyone right or wrong. It's, you know, I want to go out there. I want to work as best I can during the week, play well on Sundays, do it again. Like, it's become that for me at this point in my career, where I'm not out here trying to be vindictive about anything. It's just, I want to win. I want to compete. I want to be there for my teammates. And that's it.
Well, at this point in your career, what drives you the most?
Winning. Not even close.
Yeah.
It's not a close second. That's what I'm getting at. Like, early on in my career, it might have been, man, I need to make sure this guy doesn't say that about me again.
Yeah.
I hate that reporter.
or that guy said something good about me. I need to make sure he's right about this. And at this point, it's not that. And I don't think it ever will be again. Mm-hmm. It's so much more about winning, and especially winning coming off of the situation that we had last year. There's nothing sweeter. Mm-hmm. This opportunity that we have in front of us this year is as good as it gets.
What's been your favorite moment of your career so far?
Ooh.
Tough one.
A handful, yeah. favorite's a hard word, because there's moments that were bigger than others, but, like, I mean, just last year, with the last play against Minnesota, top three for sure. I'll give you three. That one's top three in no order. Being able to win that game in those circumstances, the Oxford shooting was that week. It was our first win.
Facts.
The last play of the game, the way it kind of unraveled there at the end.
Facts.
Yeah. It was very emotional, and being able to win that game, you know, Michigan won their game on the day before, so it was kind of a very emotional week.
Yeah.
It was cool. In L.A., we played Kansas City on Monday night. Kind of a similar situation, actually. It was following a shooting in Thousand Oaks, and we played Kansas City on Monday night. It was the game where I think it was 54-51. Crazy game, crazy shootout. Again, very emotional. A lot of service people there, firefighters. Mm-hmm. The fires in LA were also going on during that time. That made us, like, I think we were like 10-1 at that point, so it was like all good things going on. Then the last one would be winning the NFC Championship. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish I could say the Super Bowl, but we lost. But winning the NFC Championship in New Orleans, we were down 13-3, 13-0 maybe.
To start
the game. Came all the way back and won, and that game was special.
Yeah. That was a game with the crazy call, right?
Yeah.
The pass interference call?
There's a lot more that happened in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yes, that's what it's remembered by.
What was that Super Bowl game like for you?
Yeah, you know, I wish I could say it was a whole lot of fun. It was hard. I mean, it was a fun experience for sure. The whole couple weeks leading up to it, and being able to play in that game is something that, you know, I'm grateful I never took for granted. Mm-hmm. I was very present and very serious about knowing that how rare it is to play in that game. So, did my best, prepared as best I could. Obviously, we didn't do nearly enough, but it was a good experience for, hopefully, if I were to get back. Yeah. I'll absolutely be better prepared and know how to handle it maybe a little bit differently.
What do you think was the like your toughest moment of your career? You gave us three of the best. You know, what's like, you know, where you had to overcome the most adversity?
Probably, I mean, I'll give you a couple. My rookie year, losing the 7th game in a row to finish the season off. So going 0-7 as a rookie and finishing off there as, you know, the 7th one. Being 1-11 as a freshman at Cal, any of those games where you're just getting blown out. In college, you get blown out.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. It's not even close.
NFL games are typically pretty close. College, you get 50-7. Like, yeah, they pull their starters at halftime type of stuff. you know,
like, Cal.
Penn State playing Rutgers. Yeah. Best playing Rutgers.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Let me think. What else? I mean, I've had some heartbreaking losses. I'm trying to think when we've lost on like a field goal. Like the Ravens field goal last year is tough. And then that followed up with the Minnesota field goal. Yeah, those are tough, man. God, I'm trying to give you a better story. Let me think. Toughest moment. I mean, I don't know. That's probably
it. I mean, it could be your hardest hit.
I mean, I've got I got pulled in college once. That was hard. Granted, I went back in the next game, but yeah.
Did you?
Hardest hit. Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Ooh. NFL or college?
NFL.
Okay.
And it can be in practice. It doesn't have to be a game.
No, I didn't get hit in practice.
Yeah, who's hitting him in practice? Did you be cut? Shoot. Does that happen?
I mean, if AD were to hit him in practice, do you think AD's going to yell that?
Is he getting yelled at? It's probably like, hey, Aaron, don't do that again.
I don't know if he is.
Go back over. You're all right. I got hit by Fletcher Cox in 2017.
Sheesh.
And
big boy.
And fuck. For reference, my helmet came off and the buckles didn't come off.
Oh, man.
So
that's
some
just
serious
impact.
Force.
Yeah, so this was when they could still land on the quarterback. Yeah, so, like, he got up under me, picked me up, landed on me, and my helmet, like, flew off. But then I, like, went to put it back on. The straps were still buckled up.
Still had double vision.
Yeah, still it was a little foggy after that. That one, I got hit by Anthony Barr one time. It was either Anthony or Eric. It might have been both of them, Kendricks, in the same game. I thought I bit my tongue off. I don't wear a mouthpiece. And they got me up under the chin on a good one. Like they blitzed late up the middle, like an add-on. Yeah. And got me good under the chin. And I'm like, did I just bite my tongue? Like, I thought I bit myself there. Who else has got me good? Sherman got me on the sideline in Seattle.
You said Sherm?
You've probably seen that one.
He's probably talking a lot of shit.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this was like right towards the end of Legion of Boom. This was my rookie year, so 2016. I took off on a scramble. Down the sideline, like kind of like right near the pylon, and he got me up under the chin. I actually got pulled for a concussion that game, but that hit didn't hurt as bad as it looked. You know, like there's some that are like bad that no one realizes are that bad. Yeah. It's typically when you get like 300 pounds landed on top of you.
Do you feel like you for real had a concussion?
No, I don't think I did. Okay. That was when they were pulling dudes at just like, if you like laid on the ground too long.
Yeah.
So no, I thought I was like, I'm fine. Like, what are you talking about? And then. But there are times where I think I may have had a concussion in other games where I wasn't taken out. But I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
You for sure have.
Yeah, you got one
every play. I've never gotten a concussion in my life.
Really?
Yeah, that sounds like somebody who's had a lot of concussions.
I've literally never had a concussion. Ever.
Really?
I mean, everybody's had their bell.
Tim Bream never
pulled
you out.
Everybody's gotten a little 5-second double vision. All right, I got over this shit, got a line back up.
That might be one.
Nah, I don't think so. Because I feel like you need the migraine or the headache.
Right.
That's like the biggest symptom.
Totally. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, you know better. I'll
get one of those just from like first couple hits in training camp, just first time hitting again, just like, okay, just my head needs to get used to this again.
getting all the rust off. I love it.
No, oh, I can't.
One more, sorry, I just remembered it. And you guys may remember this name. A guy named Kevin Minter.
Yeah, the linebacker?
He might be towards the end of his career.
51, yeah, I remember, yeah.
Hit me my rookie year against Arizona so hard in the chest. And knocked the wind out of me, and I thought I like broke my sternum. It was again. This was like pre like targeting. Like lowered his forehead. Like got me. He actually got a penalty on it for late hit, and I threw up. Like it was like a boom.
Yeah.
But pass or roughing the pass or whatever, and it was all good. But that one I just remembered was probably the one.
And one thing I hate, I can't guess about you. What artists are you listening to before the game? Like, who's your top three artists? Like, I actually, like, if you were to ask me that, and I would have zero idea.
I really don't have, like, a go-to. It's just, like, whatever I'm listening to that week. No. And I like country. I like hip-hop. I like rock. I like pop. I like it all. And whatever I'm listening to that week, it's typically on, like, my, like, most recently played.
Yeah.
There'll be 20 songs on there. And
replay
I just shuffle it.
So you're not like I have an absolute, this song comes after this song or this song on game days. You're not one of those people?
Nope. Nope. I mean, there will be. I used to have like a certain couple ones that I'd like to listen to.
Right.
no longer. You know, I don't need to get myself too juiced up, because I've played with that too, where I go like, all right, I'm gonna get myself fired up for this game, and then afterwards I'm like, I probably shouldn't have done it. You know, I like to remain kind of level, even in pregame. Maybe now in pregame get a little bit more, but you know, I've played with it through my career.
Interesting.
You know, the one thing I was
thinking, are you listening to?
You didn't name one artist though. Okay, I need like three artists, 3 to 5 artists.
Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, dude, like, it's literally
country singer.
It's literally like anything. Like, you name it, it's probably, I've probably listened to it. Like, go ahead. Okay. Name one.
I mean, Drake. Young
yes.
Thug,
yes.
Future.
Yes.
I don't know country artists like that.
Who's your favorite country?
Miley Cyrus's dad. Billy Ray Cyrus. Do you listen to him?
He's probably came on there.
I don't know any artists.
I know the Wagon Wheel song.
There you go. Who sings that?
I don't know.
Well, there's two people singing.
Isn't it a black guy who sings that, actually?
It's Darius Rucker does a version of it.
I should know that.
Yep.
What's his name?
Darius Rucker.
Darius Rucker.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
What do you listen to?
Sounds like a black guy, and he also sounds like a black guy that would sing country. Like Darius Rucker.
What are you listening to, pregame?
A lot of Thug, a lot of Future, a lot of Gunna. Lately, it's been Roddy Ricch a lot.
Roddy.
And Don Toliver.
Nice.
Honestly, Don Toliver might be number one right now. Like,
I like them,
shit that I'm playing the most.
I like Don Toliver.
Yeah, I like Don Toliver a lot.
I usually just Travis. I just Shazam.
Yeah, like that'll come up all the time. Yeah.
I just Shazam whatever they're playing. Like, we were in Scottsdale, they were playing music. I'm pretty sure I like wrote down a couple of the songs to put on my list.
Yeah, because I don't know any Shore vibes going.
Yeah, I don't know any music myself.
See, no, like that's
techno.
That's not on mine at all.
Really,
that's definitely on his.
I can't do like pregame like EDM or house. Like, no.
Nah,
I want words. I want to like relax and like get into a zone.
Yeah. The one thing I was thinking about was being the starting quarterback in LA.
Yep.
There's so many other celebrities around there. Right. Is it a little different than being the starting quarterback in Detroit? Like,
it's so different. I would never get noticed out there.
Really?
You know, if there's football fans, sure. Yeah. But like, I was
in LA.
Yeah. I
really?
Was, I'm
yeah,
number
the Kardashians and all. You know,
if
that's
I'm
so surprising though.
If I'm out at dinner though, I'm number like 200 of like people that are like interested in seeing, like, so it typically wasn't very common to be like, hey, like picture or stuff. Like, no, like it was much more concerned about, you know, celebrities and whatnot. Whereas, you know, out here it's football country,
all
and
football,
people love sports out here. So I've really appreciated that. It's been fun to play for a fan base like this and to play in a place that is so passionate. You know, like last year we're 2 wins against the Packers in the last game of the season. The place is sold out.
Yeah.
And we win, and it's loud in the fourth quarter.
And when we get to winning this year, oh, my goodness, the city's turning up. I promise.
That's right.
The city's going up. I mean up, like dying for a winner up. Yeah. I promise.
Yeah. That's like, again, like I spoke about, like the opportunity we have in front of us this year is so special and doesn't come around. And I've had experiences of like Cal 1-11, Rams first year, bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that flip around is nothing like it.
Yeah.
And doing it in a place like this with the fan base we have and with the people who are so passionate in this city that's been wanting it for so long, and I know it's been said a million times, but actually doing it is the opportunity of a lifetime that, you know, hopefully we can take advantage of.
Yeah, it'll be unreal. The city needs it bad.
I feel like it's going to remind me a lot of, like, Penn State, like, post-sanctions when, like, everything was kind of, like, dead, and then we won the Big Ten Championship, and, like, Happy Valley came alive.
Right.
Like, I feel like it's going to be that type. That
Is Penn State loud?
Oh, gosh. Don't do this. What, fifth largest stadium in the world?
Fifth, yeah. I think it's more.
Fourth, maybe?
That.
Yeah, fourth largest stadium in the world.
Yeah.
What are you doing investment wise? I'm always curious to hear. Like, are you involved in that stuff a lot? Like,
yeah, I do a handful of things. You know, typically, I'll give you a little bit of a background, I guess. In LA, you're approached a lot with a million things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much stuff going on out there.
Restaurants.
Right. Sure. Restaurants. Absolutely. I've been approached with those. Haven't done any, but I would maybe one day. You know, you get so many opportunities. You get, you know, so many things come across your phone, come across your desk, so to speak, and you have to figure out a way to weed it out. So, you know, you have people around you that can help or that you trust, and have them help you. And since I've been there, you know, I've a handful of things. I don't know how many, but you know, I've invested in things, and mostly it's things that I like or I believe in, or or the person running it I trust or believe in, and I've done fine. Yeah, it's, you know, you miss some, you hit some, and it's a fun little kind of game on the side for me right now with you know, I'm not doing huge numbers of like fun investing, but there's times where I'll get excited about something and get involved.
What's been the best investment?
So I invested in a company called Genies.
Genies. What is that?
I'll explain it. I invested in 2017 at $50 million valuation, and about a month ago they just raised at $1 billion.
Oh.
So there's no return there yet until they sell or go public, right?
Yeah.
But right now it's
doing all right.
Yeah, it's like, what is that, 20x?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're doing all right. Their CEO and part of their team is a good friend of mine, and one of my close friends actually brought it to me when I got to LA, and he was working for them, and they were fairly new, and he was, you know, man, he's like, dude, I don't, if this doesn't work, I don't want this to like affect our friendship. I'm like, dude, don't worry about it.
It'd like, be like that though, right, man. Right. Like when it comes to money, money is money, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah. So that's why, you know, I put in whatever I'm willing to lose in most of these. And so was able to put in a little bit in there, and it's done well. Hopefully it'll sell at some point and do really well, but it's a fun company. To explain what it is, it's an avatar company. So it's very Web3 based. And
wow. There we go.
They have like a digital warehouse where you can buy like goods for your avatar. So
for like gaming or like,
no, it's kind of in that NFT world where like, I want that shirt on my avatar
in my
world.
Oculus on Meta,
whatever it may be. Yeah. So it's, I think the idea would be to be bought by one of those monster metaverse companies.
Yeah.
And
interesting.
And that would be great.
Did you actually invest in Friday Beers?
I did.
You did. Okay. Cause I read an article saying you did, and then people were saying you actually didn't. So
I did.
How'd you evaluate that as an investment?
Because I'm really close friends with the guys who started it.
Okay, cool.
And it was a just total fun one. Again, I'm only putting in what I'm willing to lose, and I think they're gonna do great. They are doing great. I'm actually wearing their shorts right now. But it's a really close friend of mine that started it, and came to me and was like, "Dude, whatever you want to put in, it'd be great to have you." And so we did that, and it's been fun.
That's sweet.
That is one thing I like that you said, though, about the investments. Like, a lot of people just look at the product or just see how good something is doing. Like, the fact that you really take your time to know, like, who really owns it. Like, what is their actual vision? Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
You're investing in a founder, really.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't think a lot of people, like, really realize that when you're investing in a product, you're really investing in a person and what their vision is. So the fact that you said that, like, and acknowledge that, that's
for
awesome.
Like, there's people that, like, for example, the guy who started Genies. Mm-hmm. I've told him, anything you do forever, I'm in. Like stuff like people like that that you know that like
who is it?
His name's Akash Nigam and he's in LA. You don't know him, but he's a good friend of mine.
Nice.
But yeah, like you know, like if think of a teammate of yours who starts something, you're like, okay, I want to be on that team.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you just whatever know he's doing. Smart. Yeah. Like you know, this guy is meant for success.
Right.
Like, whatever you're doing, I'm on.
And
the
vice versa, market. Though.
Right.
Right. Like so, you'll have meetings with people, and you'll be like, all right, like kind of not feeling that. So or feeling that person, whatever it may be. And it's all a game, right? You know, we're not all perfect. There is some. Info that you can know that can help you make good decisions, but you're gonna miss some and hopefully you hit more than you miss.
Yeah. Hopefully like one or two big hits makes up for all the losses, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well that'd be ideal, but you never know.
Yeah, for sure. What's this off season been like for you? You said it's like the most you're not moving now, but like what have you been doing all off season?
It's the first off season that I've had with like nothing going on, which has been fun. Mm-hmm. If I go back all the way to when we went to the Super Bowl, obviously that shortens your off season.
Yeah.
The year after that, I had foot surgery. I had a broken bone in my foot, so that shortened that off season. Mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of rehab there. That went into the 2019 season. The year after that was COVID, so there was no off season. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. 2018 Super Bowl, 2019 foot surgery plus COVID, so it was the same off season. 2020, I got traded. Weird off season, also short off season.
Yeah,
right? And now this year, I also broke my thumb in that off season. I was traded. Okay. So I was doing thumb rehab this off season. No surgeries, no trades. Focus
chilling.
And go.
Love it.
Yeah. No COVID.
Yeah.
Full steam ahead. Right.
What goes most into like getting better as a quarterback in the off season? Like for me, like getting better is staying in the best shape. It's lifting, running, all that kind of stuff. Like for you, it's a lot different. Is it just throwing routes all day? Is it a ton of film? Like what is it?
It's different for everybody. It's different for everybody. For me, it's keeping my stroke sharp,
like mechanics.
Mechanics. You know, mm-hmm. I equate it to like a golfer, right? Like they're keeping that sharp. And now for some quarterbacks, they don't do any of that, and they don't throw like most of the off season, mostly the veteran guys. But and maybe I'll get there one day where I feel so good about it, I don't need to. But it is staying in great shape too, and that's what I feel like I've done the best this off season and been able to because I haven't had to rehab something, and not that that's an excuse, but you know,
no, you look good. It's harder. No, you look good.
And I've been able to, you know, prioritize that, you know, much more, and been able to really, you know, dig into that and mm-hmm. spend a whole lot of time having that time available to me and making the most of it.
Yeah, that was the first thing I noticed about you this offseason when I first saw you in Luckham. Said Jared looks better. It's in great shape.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Look good. You look good too.
I'm working hard.
It feels like the NFL season keeps getting longer and longer, and the offseason gets shorter and shorter. Right.
Right. Yes, that is definitely the game they were trying to play.
Well, they added one, and NFLPA future president Jason Gabinda will tell you they're trying to add as many as
we were
can.
Just talking about that. Actually,
that they are. That they are. We're trying to fight that right now.
Yeah,
you're fighting it.
Yeah, we're trying to.
Thank you for saying I look good. That's the best thing I've heard all year.
Cool.
Appreciate that.
No BS.
I love it.
You and David Blouse, you know, back and forth with the 10-yard races. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. You should have seen us today. We were doing the Kaiser Power Squat. Did you see that?
What is it?
You know, the Kaiser Power Squat has the numbers on there.
Right, yeah.
But, like, it, like, measures your output.
Yeah.
How explosive you are.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So, like, we'll have the same workout, obviously, being quarterbacks. And so we'll, like, go against each other and see who can get more.
And they're just going back and forth the whole time. For 10 minutes
straight. Who wins that? You were blown.
It's split right now. I won the first one. We had another one today. He actually won. We had five sets, so it was best of five.
The question is it split on the ping pong table? That's the question.
No, I'm kicking his ass there.
Are you good at ping pong?
I'm pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
I can attest to that.
As good as golf?
I'm better at ping pong.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're pretty good at golf.
Yeah. I would love to play like in like a real I don't play ping pong that much until we got the table in our locker room. Like I started getting back into it a little bit, but yeah, I beat everyone in our locker room.
Damn.
But I don't know if that's saying much.
Yeah,
but it's fun. I enjoy it.
What's your favorite golf course?
I play him. He wants to beat me.
We only played once.
He's a competitor.
What was the score?
11-6.
Yeah, solid.
11-6.
I was just.
But
he
has beat everyone in the locker room now.
Really?
Yeah, he has.
David's beat me.
Him and Blau are the only people who can consistently beat me.
Fox can play.
I haven't played Jack.
Jack can play. Riley can play.
Riley.
I mean, of course, special teams and quarterbacks.
Y'all always have these just weird skills. Right. Like, that's the thing about quarterback is, like, I don't know what it is about y'all's brains with aim and accuracy or what it is, but, like, you can damn near apply it to, like, anything. Like, quarterbacks will always be at least decent at most sports.
Same thing, like, look at Trace. Like, Trace is good at golf. Like, he's good at everything.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
Favorite golf course? Because I know you played a lot of good ones.
Oh, that's a good question. I've been lucky enough to play Cypress in...
Where's that?
In Pebble Beach area. Yeah. That's gotta be my number one.
What'd you shoot there?
I actually played well. I shot 82.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. 82 at Cypress is like, it's pretty good.
It's it's a really hard course.
The greens are really hard.
Really?
I mean, it's fun. It's a really, like, there's parts of the courses that is short, but it's a really fun, challenging course. But yeah, I played well the day I was there. I've probably shot 95 there as well. Mm-hmm. But I think my best there, 82 or something.
Yeesh.
Where else?
Where have you played in Scottsdale? What course is there? You played True North?
I have not. Like I mentioned, I played the Waste Management at what's that course called?
Yeah, the
Scottsdale TPC.
Yeah, TPC.
Oh,
yeah.
TPC.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've played there. I've played Whisper Rock. I've played DC Ranch.
Mm-hmm. Damn, you played in AZ.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple places, you know. Yeah.
Big Scottsdale guy.
I like Scottsdale. AZ guy? Yeah. I like Scottsdale a lot. Scottsdale's fun. You know, I'll go there maybe once a year.
Yeah.
Some friends, play some golf, go out. That's a fun place, man.
Yeah. Jason likes Scottsdale, too.
Old Town action?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Old Town is fun. It's really fun. Like, it's a really cool place.
Like, you walk around Old Town, you can hear the music from all the clubs literally in the
It's crazy.
Like, in the ground.
You got the W out there. You got all the good places.
Right.
Those are spots. The last question I normally ask, I asked Jason the same thing when we did his podcast. What's your why? Like what's the external motivation maybe it's internal motivation that you know drives you to be the best?
I think it's changed over the years, and I've kind of touched on it a few times. But for me right now, it's winning, and it's not even close. And mm-hmm. it's competing, and it's being the best version of myself every day. How can I do that as the most as possible? And create the best results for myself and my team.
Yeah.
So it's winning. And I think I've been on really good teams. I've been on really bad teams. And I've had really good seasons. And I've had bad seasons. And finding myself in a place where I can consistently produce and consistently win games and chase that competitive juice and that competitive fire of being able to beat the other team and be able to, you know, punish the other team in ways at the end of the games and finish on a 4-minute drive. Like, there's no better feeling than that. Getting us as Lions to a place where we can do that consistently, I take a lot of pride in, and would be something that I would be proud of for the rest of my life.
That's awesome.
Love that answer. Absolutely love that answer.
I'm excited to see you guys bring a Super Bowl to Detroit, man.
Would be fun.
Yeah.
Would be a
lot
of fun.
Man, let's get it. It's coming. I promise you that. It's coming.
We're going to run Boss a lot to get this guy involved. And then we're going to run Spider over and over. Spider.
Spider?
Spider, Snag, 7 flat. Give it to Kabinda. 40.
Leg in the flat.
That's all we need. That's all we need.
Give it to him.
So you're saying draft Kabinda on fantasy as a starting fullback?
If they have a fullback spot, absolutely. He gets probably more touches than a lot of guys. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we'll get you a ball in the flat once or twice, you know, every couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
A couple of weeks every game. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, last year you probably touched the ball.
This year will be every game.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, it's on you, right?
You're right. We did add
so
some
will
receivers,
we? Will
though.
We? Every game?
There are some playmakers now.
JG?
We added some receivers. And we do have two running backs, so.
Yeah, we do.
If we are in 21 personnel, you will be touching the ball at some point.
Yes, sir.
I love it. Well, I appreciate you doing this, man.
Yeah, man.
It's been fun.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for setting up, Jason.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
That's a wrap.
Awesome.
That was good.
That was really
good. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, man. That was like an hour. Sorry, I went a little long.
No problem. I love it. I love doing these.